welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Let's get going. We're going to start in a couple Old Testament scriptures here back to back. Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." So the proverb, you know, this is King Solomon. He's saying, let mercy and truth be so close that you're holding them right in front of you, that it's close to your heart. Then Micah says, "The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." There's a powerful theme in the Old Testament of exhortations throughout that just says, love mercy. In other words, loving mercy is not something that comes natural. You're going to choose to love mercy. You're going to choose to want to show compassion and grace as you're experiencing life, going through life, that decision to choose mercy, to keep it in front of you. It says, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. A lot of times it can be that way. Well, I'm merciful, I'm caring. And then that happens. And then your whole demeanor, your whole attitude, you could have mercy and it could forsake you. There's a call to keep mercy in front of us, to love it, to guard it. This is how Jesus speaks of that now in the new covenant regarding mercy. He says, "You've heard it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." I remember reading this scripture for the first time when I got my little blue denim Bible from the Lutheran Church, and reading that and going, wow. I mean, I was thinking, this was 50 years ago. This is 1975 to date me. But I was reading that, and I'm going, wow. I don't think like that. This is a little kid. I mean, just, you know, and 50 years later, I'm going, wow, I don't think like that. Tell you, evidence is that the Bible is the word of God. Man would never write that. Man would never establish a faith on that premise. There's too many things to have to protect, to guard. But you can see the faith in this. You can see the need for God in this to do this. You can't manage your life in such a way that you can create a religion of, you just got to have God to be able to do this. And this is the word of God. It is such a powerful truth, and such a truth that I've come back to, you know, over the years, where when I begin to grow, like if I'm going to grow spiritually, I come back to this on another level. And then I'm getting ready to grow spiritually. It's like God brings me back to a place of love again, brings me back to a place of trusting him in the area of love to help me to grow. There's a great song that came out just recently, Phil Wickham. It's called The Jesus Way. It says, "If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. If you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. If you're burdened, I will share the weight. If you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I will embrace you. If you chain me, I'll sing his praise. If you kill me, my home is heaven, for I choose the Jesus way. I choose to surrender. I choose to love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness. I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way. It's a song with a powerful admonition that has rung through the years. 2,000 years ago when Jesus spoke these words and all the years of my life. And so this morning, I just want to minister along those lines of choosing the Jesus way and what that means. And again, when God is calling you back to some basic love stuff, he's getting ready to take you on to some places you've always wanted to go. Because the love of God is the key. You know, when you've got love, everything means something. We were looking at it a few weeks ago about how you could, you know, have the tongues of men and of angels, gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all that. But without love, it profits nothing. But with love, it's extremely powerful and impactful in the world. All right? You're not choosing one or the other. No. The point is that when you get love, then all of a sudden everything else just comes alive and has meaning. And so that's what I'm saying. When it seems like things have kind of stalled out a little bit, you need a little more oomph, God's going to bring you back to love in a deeper, more profound way. And a lot of the things you're already doing will just be amplified because love gets amplified in your life. There is more profoundness and clarity when there's love. There's just no fear in love. It's powerful when God just calls you higher in a place of love. So we're going to be talking about choosing the Jesus way. When you're choosing the Jesus way of love, you're choosing a few things about the Jesus way that makes the Jesus way work. The first area of choosing the Jesus way is you're choosing, when you choose the Jesus way, you're choosing God's justice. All right? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what is he saying here? He's saying things are going to happen that are going to be offensive, that are going to cause the temptation for great wrath. But he says, give place to wrath. Now, in real life, this is not really easy to do, is it? To give place, when you're feeling that wrath, to just give place to wrath. If you're going to give place to wrath in the moment, you've got to have a pretty good reason to be able to give place to wrath. And so he gives us that reason. Give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, he's basically saying this, I see it, I see exactly what's going on, I understand it to the nth degree, even ways that you don't understand it. And I will repay. I'm going to set this right. A lot of times in the world we live in, when something happens that's unjust, you can see the demonstrations in the anger and the wrath and the signs that will say, no justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. None. We're not going to have peace until we have justice. There is a wrath that is not given place to. God calls it, we're talking about choosing the Jesus way. When we choose the Jesus way, we're choosing God's justice, which means he is the avenger. If I know that he is my avenger, if I know that he is going to make things right in his way, in his time, how he chooses to do it, if I know his justice, K-N-O-W, then I can know, K-N-O-W, peace and have peace. It's a total different paradigm. I know things are being settled by him. Things are being settled by God. And how do I know that? It's one thing, you know, we see that, vengeance is mine, and you think, oh, okay, so vengeance, I have an avenger. And, you know, my avenger is a loving God. Yay, I would get that kind of an avenger, you know. I want an avenger who's going to set the record straight. He is a loving God. And he's a holy God. And there is nothing that gets past him. And when we see that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We see that there is nothing that goes undetected with him. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And when I do this verse, I like to always throw in the flesh translation that I made up. But it says, for he who gets caught sowing to his flesh will of the flesh reap the consequences of getting caught. When we think of sowing and reaping, we think of, well, if I get caught or if I don't get caught. That's not true. I mean, if you get caught, yeah, there will be consequences. But even if you don't get caught, you still reap of the flesh. You still stir up the flesh. Even if you don't get caught, you stir up things on the inside of you that make things dark and bad and not, you know, peace and life anymore. So when you realize the way God works, the way God operates, is when somebody does something to you, I mean, there's consequences that they're going to have. I remember when I had a friend, we were going to college. It was our college days, and we were getting ready to go across the footbridge, and it's UW-Eau Claire, and it's thick ice, and there are some of these older gentlemen out there with ice picks kind of breaking up the ice for the students to be able to come across. And my friend, he's a good guy, but just kind of out of character, he just said, we were walking by these old guys, and he's pointing at them, and he's saying, that's why I'm going to college, so I don't have to ever do that. And I'm going, oh, quiet, they could totally hear you. And it's like, nah, I don't. And it's like, okay, whatever. Well, it so happened that, you know, at that time, we both worked at Hardee's. And so I was going into work later that day. He had an earlier afternoon shift. I had an evening shift. And as I was coming in, he was going out. He was just really mad. And I said, you know, what's wrong? He goes, yeah, you know all the ice we had today? Well, they couldn't find the ice deal, and they made me go up on the roof and have to kick it off with my boot all afternoon. My foot is sore, and I had to kick ice for 2 hours today. And I said, do you remember what you said? Yeah, I remember. He was a believer, too. I said, yeah, I know what I said. I know what I said. Now, the thing of it is that, you know, that was a pretty quick sowing and reaping there, but doesn't always happen that quick. But if you think about it, though, from the perspective of those older gentlemen, you know, all they saw was a punk kid smarting off. They didn't see him kicking the ice. I got to see both sides of this. They only got to see one side of it. But you got to realize, even though you can only see so much, and there are things that people have done to you, they are kicking ice in ways that you can't see. Do you understand that? Just because you can't see them get theirs in their way, it doesn't mean that they aren't reaping. It doesn't mean that when they sow certain things up, that it isn't causing problems in their own life. There is a sowing and a reaping that absolutely takes place. And things you got to understand too, and yes, we all feel, so give place to wrath. Why? Vengeance is mine. I'll take care of things in a sowing, reaping way. Do you understand? When you're hurt and somebody does something to you, there is something bigger than preserving your good name here at work. There's something bigger than even your justice here. God being mocked. Do you understand? If somebody could do something in a way that they had no consequences for it, it's not just that they got away with it. It means that God could be mocked. God can't be mocked. God is the one running the show. That's why he's saying, vengeance is mine. Trust the one who's got the big picture here. He sees everything that's going on. If I'm going to choose the Jesus way, I got to choose God's justice. I got to believe he's really seeing everything all at once, and he's taking care of things in a way that I don't have to be the avenger for every offense in my life. I can trust that he is doing things in a way, you know, that is right and that is good. Here's another kind of bigger picture of this. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now think about this. To whom we must give account. Do you know we're going to give account someday? He's talking to believers here. Now, the account that we give as believers is before the judgment seat of Christ, which is an account for rewards. But we live our lives in a way that we realize that there is nothing hidden from His sight. What does this mean? This means that you can think about the stuff that maybe have happened to you, and I haven't been giving place to wrath for this, but that's okay because I believe that God's going to take care of that. It's bigger than that. It's even bigger than that. Because for all the things that you can think of the ways that people have hurt you and things that they have said to you, I can guarantee you this. There are many things that have been said about you that you don't even know. There's a lot of things that have been done, maybe, you know, passive-aggressively different ways against you that you haven't even recognized. And so you have to keep track of that to be bitter about and to keep that for all my life. Look it. He is holding that accountable. The stuff you don't even know about, He's holding that accountable too. He's got your back in ways that you don't even know your back needs to get gotten. That's how committed to your justice He is. And that's trusting, choosing God's justice. I believe You got me covered here, God. I believe You're working in ways that I can't even know, that I don't have to put the energy and the resources of my time of bitterness to try to play self-avenger. There's a freedom in that, isn't there? Of choosing His way. You know, and sometimes we even look at it from what we see with our eyes in the natural, but look what the Scripture says. Some men's sins are clearly evident preceding them to judgment, but some follow later. You know, somebody could do something in a way, and then they pass and look and say, well, they got away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. There may be some things that were uncovered, you know, people, you know, that you find out about people before they pass, but there can be things that are not covered about, you know, until after they pass. Now think about this. I'm trying to show you and exhaust the justice of God in a way that you can know that you can trust His system of justice. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, that's the good stuff, or wood, hay, straw, that's the bad, fleshy stuff, each one will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is by fire. He's talking about us as believers. Now, it would be nice to think that all my stuff is gold and, you know, gold and silver and precious stones. The reality is we've got some gold, silver, precious stones. We've got some wood, hay, straw. There's some stuff that we're working through in our lives. We hit that judgment. The good stuff we get rewarded for. The bad stuff, it burns up, right? It's gone. Praise God. We're saved. Why? Because you got the foundation right. You're saved by the foundation. You're not saved by your works. You're rewarded for your works, but you're not saved by your works. And so even though that work is burned up, in other words, you've invested time and effort into wood, hay, and straw, yeah, there's nothing to show for it, but it survives. There can be things where people can experience loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Why is this? God is committed to justice. Sometimes in a way that we go, wow, really? Okay. But let me say this too. When you get things right in your heart before you go to the judgment seat of Christ, then there is nothing to burn up there. You've already received, you can receive forgiveness and cleansing from all, you know, anything that we do wrong. But we got to realize that when we go through life, God tracks stuff. Again, not saved by my works. I'm saved by grace through faith. The foundation is Christ. But to realize the justice of our God, nobody gets away with anything. And when we know that justice, when we can rest in that justice, then I can give place to wrath, knowing that God is just, knowing that He has my back in ways that I could never have my own back, knowing that everything is going to be fine. He is going to settle things in every way that He needs to settle them. So that's important to understand. When we're talking about choosing the Jesus way, we're choosing God's justice system. We're choosing to know that He is going to be watching out for us, Okay? And again, whether you see it, whether you see a person kicking ice or not, they're reaping according to what they sow. You don't reap according to what you get caught sowing. You reap according to what you sow. And that's a lot of times where God will begin to lead you to pray for people. That's why we pray for people who have sown. They need your prayers. They need your prayers to help come back, to be restored, different ways, things like that. But we trust God's justice system. We know that He is looking out for us. Also, there's a choosing in that of God's presence. That first one, though, is very important. Because I think that one, just as human beings, we go, oh, come on. That's no fair, no fair, no fair. I can give place to no fair, no fair, no fair, because God is going to make it fair in His way, in His time. He is going to execute justice. He is going to be avenger for me. Now, when you, can I say this too? When you let God be your avenger, it doesn't make you vindictive. It has the exact opposite effect. Kind of got there before a little bit. But when you're doing that, when you don't have to be, could you imagine if it was flipped where God said, no, you're the avenger. Be bitter, be angry, go be in strife. Could you imagine? There are gods of religions that are that way. And you can see them in our world. And you can see the hatred. Our God isn't that way. He is God. And we have to choose the Jesus way. And what happens when we choose the Jesus way? We bless those who curse us. We love those who hate us. We pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Why? Because we want them to come back. We want them to be restored. We know that there's a reaping that they're going to experience. And it's not from me. It's not from me. It's from a God who can't be mocked. When you realize that, you're literally praying out ahead. You're a lot like God in that way. While we were sinners, He loved us. And He puts that heart in us. Praise God. So as we are letting God's justice work, again, it doesn't make us vindictive. It turns the vindictiveness off. I don't have to do all that vindictive work. Now I'm free. I'm free to have peace. I'm free to be able to pray. I'm freed up from that side of it. I know there's somebody who understands. A lot of times that's what can be a basis for gossip and a lot of stuff like that. I just want to have a sense of presence, somebody who understands and is there with me and understands. You know what? You can know that God understands and begin to pray and let Him know that He is on the nuances of it. You know, we can obviously pray for each other, and I'm not saying, you know, we can't let each other know what's going on or things to be able to share things on some level. But a lot of times this excessive gossip and that need for somebody to know is you're missing a companionship and a sense that somebody really knows and sees everything that's going on and to rest in Him and to know that He is good enough. Praise God. And you can trust that He's taking care of things in a way that only He can. There is a beautiful choosing of the Jesus way where you're choosing God's justice system, where I don't need myself or I don't need to call the troops to be my justice system for me. I'm trusting God. I'm choosing the Jesus way. This is where the church is going to go to on some stronger places. I talked about it on an individual level. But I'm saying as a church, there's some things that we've wanted to see. But there are some decisions that God's making us make as a church that is going to cause us to grow. And I'm telling you what, as a church, this is it. When we choose the Jesus way, we trust God. You're my avenger. I'm going to love. I'm not my vindicator. It takes that poisonous, bitter spirit out to where you can flow with the Holy Spirit and have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. This is important for where God wants to bring the church. New levels of trust, new levels of love, new levels of you're looking out for me, God. I'm not going to be vindicated because we all have the voices that war against the law of our mind, the scripture says, that are playing on all those different things, hatred, bitterness, self-pity, all that stuff. And it's like, no, I'm choosing the Jesus way. God is taking care of me in these areas. So that kind of really leads to the next point then, choosing God's presence. I know that I can give place to wrath, but there's also another choice that I've got to make as well too, choosing God's presence. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Do not sin by letting anger control you. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Never let ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, this is kind of an important inflection point as you're choosing the presence of God, because it's important to understand that when you're hurt, there's nothing wrong with feeling angry or even being angry when you experience it. I liken it to, you know, if you're somebody's, you know, you're holding a stake and somebody's hammering a stake in and they hit your thumb, you have every right to say, ouch, but you don't have a right to take up the hammer and start hammering at them. There's nothing wrong with feeling or experiencing pain in the moment of that. You can. But, you know, be angry and don't sin. Don't let ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth. Use your words to become beautiful gifts and encourage others. So there's nothing wrong with feeling that pain. There's nothing wrong with saying, ouch. And there's nothing wrong with, a lot of times, even being able to talk to somebody and letting them know, hey, just so you, that hurt, you know, that was, or what did you mean by that? Or to be able to clarify some things up front, too, at the point of pain. You know, you can do things in a right, in a good way and just kind of calm things right up front. But in some circumstances, you can absolutely do that. And so you want to, it's okay to be angry, but to not sin. In other words, depending on the circumstance, situation, you can go before God and say, Lord, ouch, this really hurt. This is just, you know, makes me extremely mad. That's not fair. It's not right, but I trust you, but I'm going to forgive, but I'm going to choose your presence. I'm going to choose your way. And this is how you know. How do you know if you've crossed the line? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There's a ministry of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that when you cross a line, there's like an unsettledness in your own spirit, in your own heart. It's like, nope, that was too far. I shouldn't have said that. And I say this a lot. I say, you know, I'm not glad that I grieve the Holy Spirit, but I'm glad the Holy Spirit grieves when my words aren't right and when my heart isn't right. There is a gauge on the inside of us called the grieving of the Holy Spirit that when we begin to say or do things, and again, it could be malicious things. It could be just things that you're doing indirectly that you mean ill will towards somebody, and the Spirit's going, nope, your motive is wrong in that. I don't care how it looks, and I don't care how you can publicize it. You're going to stay stuck here spiritually. You don't reap according to what you get caught sowing. You reap according to what you sow, and this is what sticks you right back here. This is where we got to be honest in our heart and say, why am I doing what I'm doing here? No, I'm going to have to choose something. Choose something that ultimately begins to break that off. This is kind of a story where we see Jesus sent messengers out ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his revival, prepare for his arrival, but the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. And this is so personal when it comes to offense. This isn't about getting somebody to say, okay, that's okay. I affirm you and you're okay. Do you understand? Sometimes the spirit can be going, oh, and I just want somebody to affirm that I'm okay and that I'm right. Listen, you don't need somebody to tell you you're right if you're wrong. We need to repent and go before God. And I said, I choose the Jesus way. It's not a man's way, it's God's way. And I'm coming back and I'm saying, Lord, okay, I want my spirit to be right. It's amazing what he said to them. Of all the things he could have said to them, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. What's coming out of your spirit. You know, we're supposed to be an example, not only of love, but of spirit. There's supposed to be something that comes out of our spirit that should just exude the Spirit of God and the grace of God. There's something about our spirit that's an example. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. I have to self-check all the time where I'm saying, what spirit am I of right now? I got my case, I got my justification, and there is a spirit that is not right. And what happens when we get of that spirit? We want to call down fire. Have you ever wanted to call down fire? Yes, you have. I'll answer that for you. You've wanted to call down fire and consume those enemies, because in that moment there's good guys and there's bad guys, and you're the good guy, they're the bad guys, and they need to be consumed by fire. It's amazing how simple wrath and anger and flesh is, but it affects our spirit. How do I turn that around? Do I educate myself out of that? Do I shame myself for not being a good forgiver, for not doing what I know I should be doing? There's something that I'm choosing. I got to recognize that. I got to be honest when there's a grieving of the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And I got to be honest before Jesus. But the way I turn that around is choosing his presence. These are some great things King David said about these kind of things. As he was dealing with things throughout his kingdom and being on the run from people, he says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm." He's just saying that wrath and anger, it just leads to a dark place. And this is, of course, part of Psalm 23. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here, you don't see a picture of King David arguing with all of his enemies, and I'm right and you're wrong. You see King David in a place where the Lord has set a table before him. You see King David in a place where he is worshiped and he's submitted to God, and there's an anointing on him in the presence of his enemies. There is no greater comeback than being anointed in the presence of your enemies. There is no greater comeback than pulling into God and worshiping him and choosing the one thing. You know, in the same paradigm where you've got Martha and Mary, and Martha's busy and wanting Mary to get up from that place to be busy with her, bitterness can cause you to get up from that place too and be busy in other ways. But when you're choosing the one thing and you're saying, "No, I'm choosing the presence of God. I'm choosing to stay here. Lord, I'm choosing to worship you. It's not about trying to reconcile everything. I'm going to pray. I'll, you know, forgive where I need to forgive." But sometimes you're just going to come into the presence of God. We were just worshiping with some really beautiful songs this morning about gratitude and lifting up the name of Jesus and getting that focus back on him where your heart gets in the right place. I'll tell you, gratitude is huge, because no matter who does what to you, it can't undo what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. When ugly things happen to you, it can affect your sense of identity. Am I this kind of a person? No, your identity goes back to what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. This is who I am. I'm a loved child of God. This is who I am. That bitterness can't mess with my identity. This is who I am. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I like that look. I like that view. You know, I'm just coming into the presence of God. I'm not trying to resolve every feeling. I'm coming into the presence of God. You can come into the presence of God, and the Spirit of God can resolve feelings in a moment of time. Heal a broken heart. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal a broken heart." Do you understand that there is an anointing of the Spirit that can heal a broken heart, that can cause you to be whole, and a revelation of his love for you that causes the fear of man to just fall off and know you're secured in the love of God? There is an anointing of the Spirit of God that can heal a brokenness of heart. Come in before the presence of the Lord. Then finally, this is just a couple powerful truths as we're choosing the presence of God. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Not only has the Holy Spirit been poured out, not only has the love of God been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, but that Holy Spirit can be stirred up. The love of God can be stirred up. It is frustrating when you're not feeling it, you know, and it's almost like a theological finger wag, you should forgive. What we need to do is we need to stir up, because that ability to forgive doesn't come from a theological obligation. The capacity to love, the capacity to forgive has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. There is a stirring up of the Spirit of God when spiritual things get real and, you know, powerful in your heart, and that's what from that place we can begin to forgive. And Sometimes I like to put it this way. I didn't put that scripture up here, but it's in Ephesians chapter 4. It says you got to put on the new man. You're not feeling it. You got to get into character. You got to get into character of who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? You're not a sinner identifying as a new creation. You're a new creation identifying as a new creation. You were really born again. You were really changed. God put within you a capacity to love that you just don't naturally have. And so you're going to, by faith, get into character. I can forgive because I am a new creation. I have the Holy Spirit. That love is there. And I forgive by faith as a new creation, with that capacity to love. And yeah, sometimes you got to go against your feelings in the moment and be who you are. I've had a situation where I think I've related this, where I had bought a TV and I was really frustrated because it was kind of a smaller TV and I kind of felt like, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and buy this because I had, you know, that much in my budget that I wanted for a TV, and I bought it. And you know how you buy something and you can have that, what they call buyer's remorse? Because I went out like 2 weeks later and the TV I really wanted was less expensive than the TV I ended up buying. You know how quickly the prices drop on that stuff. And I'm going, oh man, I was so frustrated. And it was like, I'm trying to figure out a way that I could buy this newer TV, the one I wanted that was, you know, cost less than the one I did. And, you know, I'm just, it's like checkmate. There's no way I can justify this. And so one day I'm just kind of working in my office and all of a sudden I hear, tsh! And I go out and Abby was playing with the Wii and was it bowling or something? I can't remember. Bowling, and just, she didn't have it strapped to her wrist and just shattered the TV. And my first thought was, I never thought of that. But now I'm dad, and I remember I still have to be corrective. I gotta train, you know. It's like, and on the inside I'm going, Ed, you cannot be smiling right now. You cannot be. You gotta be, you know, you gotta be right about this. And so I just, you know, remember, you know, saying, you know, come on, Abby, no, we've said there's a reason we've told you that you gotta keep that wrist on there. These TVs are expensive. Now we're gonna have to buy another one. I'm sure God was rolling his eyes right there, but. And I just asked her the other day, I said, you know, when that happened, did you believe that I was in? She said, yeah, I believed, yeah. She believed I was, then that's great, and that's right. I wasn't feeling it at the time. I had to be dad. Well, was it a few weeks ago we'd walked into a Sam's, and you walk into a Sam's, and the first thing you see are these huge TVs. And I'm seeing this huge TV, and now it's like vivid. It's like you're looking into real life. And I said, Abs, you might have to start playing the Wii again. She said, got you covered, Dad. So, and Julie's like, this wouldn't even fit in our house right now. Yeah, that's probably true. But there are times when you're like, okay, I feel like the complete opposite, but this is who I am, right? So even whether, when you're feeling mad, you really, do you know that new creation of Christ Jesus has no bitterness? Who you are on the inside, the part of you that's going to go to heaven when you die has no bitterness, no hatred, no wrath. The scripture says that you're going to be presented before God, holy and without blame and above reproach in his sight. That's who you are. And so part of that growing up, that love is the thing that really helps us. When we choose the Jesus way, we get a bit more of a glimpse of who we are on the inside. He poured that love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We say, man, praise God, Lord, that's who I am. I might not feel it. I might be feeling fire, but you know what? This is who I am. I'm choosing the Jesus way. I'm coming into the presence of God, and I'm beginning to sense. And here's the cool thing about it. This isn't just the preacher preaching technical theology. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, witnessing the truth. And when you set your mind on things above, and when you worship the Lord, and when you do things, you listen on the inside. You listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He will say yes and amen. He will amen the word of God every time. And when you begin to go that direction, it's not about what so-and-so thinks or what so-and-so would put up with. No, none of that matters anymore. This is you choosing the Jesus way. Because when you give account, you're not going to be standing before so-and-so. You're going to be standing before your Lord Jesus and his word and what he told you and what you did with it. This is our great opportunity right now for us to choose that Jesus way, to choose his presence, to let the presence of the Lord help break off the junk, you know? And so that's the other thing that we're choosing. We're choosing the presence of God. Then finally, we're just choosing God's love. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us. I love that. I mean, that's really, this is New King James, but this is really powerful, pretty bold. Therefore, be imitators of God. I mean, I always like to say this is our big chance to play God right here. We get to love the way he's called us to love. We get to forgive the way he's called us to forgive. And the beautiful thing about this, you know, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. And as I'm choosing to love, as I'm choosing the Jesus way, there are several scriptures that are so powerful. You don't have to memorize a bunch of scriptures. You can just memorize a couple along these lines. This is a powerful one right here. I would encourage being familiar with Ephesians, really, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. That passage right there is so powerful as far as getting that in your heart as something that you can go back to when you're feeling, you know, pulls to go in the other direction. But this is a call that all bitterness, wrath, anger come. There's just nothing. There's no wiggle room. And sometimes when you're in that place and you're choosing to love, I'm just saying, Lord, I'm going to let all bitterness. What about that? That's part of all bitterness. Yes, that goes too. All bitterness, all wrath, all clamor, that is gone. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm loving with the love that you've put in my heart. I'm an imitator of God. And let me say this, when you do this, when you begin to do this, I'm not just talking about keeping a theological principle here. There is something powerful that happens. The same Holy Spirit that will grieve when you let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that same Holy Spirit will rejoice in you. When you let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, you will feel lighter on your feet. You will catch yourself smiling and wondering why you're even smiling. Because you have nothing to be mad about. When all bitterness, wrath, and anger, you have nothing to feel sorry for yourself about. It's a lot of work to feel sorry for yourself. We all know that. We all gone through that. It's a lot of work, that bitter. But think of what this opportunity, don't see it from, I got to do this. Look at the opportunity that's being presented to you here. Without you having to fix everything, God being your avenger, and putting his love in your heart and choosing his presence, and just saying, yes, I'm letting go of that. I'm forgiving that. Praise God. Lord, if there's anything I need to know, anything, then you can show me by your spirit, by your wisdom, by your peace, by your grace. But I'm letting go of that. I'm letting it all go. Those bitterness, wrath, anger. I'm just clamors, the continual clamoring and, you know, complaining and the evil speaking, and that would get into the gossip stuff and malice. You know, those are just some even the subtle things that you can do to work ill will. Your subtle revenge that you won't be blamed for. All the heart stuff. When that's put away from you, and you know your heart is clear before God, man, that is a beautiful, powerful place that we're called to walk. Whosoever should keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. For he who says, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you don't commit adultery, but you do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Mercy, and we know that from the cross. God's mercy has triumphed over our judgment. If you've made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you got that foundation, you have eternal life. It's a beautiful thing. It's a gift. But I'll tell you what, it's also true as it relates to sowing and reaping too in our lives. When you show mercy, mercy triumphs over judgment. And that's something the Lord just spoke so clearly in my heart. He said, Ed, your mercy triumphs over your judgment. You know, there's things that judgment can fall. You know, the Lord, the Corinthians also says, judge yourself that you be not judged. But when you are judged, you're chastened to the Lord that you may not be condemned with the world. In other words, he'll give you space to judge things. And the more merciful and graceful, you know, you reap mercy. When you sow mercy, you reap mercy. There is a mercy that triumphs over judgment. That critical spirit is what makes us fearful of judgment falling anytime, because we're sowing that critical spirit. We're just going to reap that sense of, the other thing's going to fall. When you begin to show mercy and grace and walk in that place, you're not living in fear of your own judgment for every little thing. There is a beautiful mercy that triumphs over judgment. I love that. We begin to be like an imitator of God. Because the way bitterness works and the way hatefulness works and all that stuff, it's like a video. If you can think of a video of a person's life, well, think of your own life. Think of some dark places you've been in your own life, some rebellious places. Aren't you glad God didn't hit pause right there and say, that's who you are? Nope, that's who you are. That's what bitterness does. Bitterness will go back to a moment and hit pause. That's who you are. Judge. Guilty. But what does God do? He hits the play button. He lets things play out. He gives people room to grow. He gives people room to change. He doesn't hit the pause button and hold that pause over their head. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy says, okay, you can change the way I can change. I can see how I've changed. According to my calculations, other people can change too. I can have mercy that triumphs over judgment. Praise God. Mercy that could restore some relationships and make some people that you thought were your biggest enemies some of your best friends. Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The merciful, kind, and generous man benefits himself, but he who is cruel and callous brings on himself retribution. There's a self-punishment that happens as a result of that cruelness, but mercy is the thing that brings healing. It's the thing that makes us whole. Choosing the Jesus way. In choosing the Jesus way, we're choosing a few things. We're choosing God's justice system. I'm taking the avenger burden off myself, and I'm putting it where it belongs, to the one who's capable, the one to whom all things are naked and open. He is better equipped to be avenger than I am. And so as I do that, all that pressure, that's where the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor. You know, the scripture says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Well, when you let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, you're casting that on your avenger. He's going to take care of the justice side. In the meantime, I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to be graceful. Choosing God's presence, that's where I'm just going to say, yeah, I know how I feel. I'm going to have to even get into character here, but I know the witness of the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm wrong, I'm off. I don't know what spirit I'm of anymore. I love when King David sinned, he said, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. There's an honesty with knowing when you're in a right spirit or not. And that's where we can play games and get people to come around and you're okay. I need to be okay in my relationship with God and have a right spirit and know that's clean and that's clear. I want his presence. That's my barometer. I'm coming into his presence. He's put his love, shed his love abroad in my heart. I'm going to be who I am, regardless of how I feel. I'm going to get into character. I'm going to be the role, the new creation, who has no bitterness, no wrath. And then just simply choosing God's love, choosing to be like God, the way he is with us. He didn't hit pause on us. He let our hearts play out to a place of repentance and eternal life and grace. And we have that same imitator of God heart, where we don't keep it on pause either. We let things play out and pray for people as we're letting them play out in their life. Amen. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that you have given us an upward call of love, a charge to be like you, Lord, to love the way you do, that you let the sun rise on the evil and on the just, that you send rain on the just and on the unjust, Lord, that you are good to all in a way that we're called to be good to all, not just those who love us or just to greet those who love us, but to have this open heart of mercy, this open heart of trust, where we come to you and trust you with our lives and our relationships. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Jesus way. I choose the Jesus way. I choose your justice. I can't be avenger. Only you can do that. I realize that when people sow to the flesh, when I sow to the flesh, there is a reaping. It's not regulated by me. It's regulated by you. I trust you in that. I take the pressure off of myself to be avenger. That's not my role. I give place to wrath. I know your justice, and I know your peace. Thank you for that. Lord Jesus, I choose your presence. I don't want to call down fire. I want a right spirit. I want to know the spirit I'm of. I come into your presence. I stir up the love you have put in my heart. I stir up your ability to forgive as a new creation. I thank you, Father, that you're with me and that I can walk in love just like you. And right now, I hit play on those certain relationships that I have kept paused. And I thank you for letting my life play out into fields of grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. Again, it's a word that you will continue to come back to the rest of your walk down here as we grow from faith to faith and glory to glory. But I'll tell you, as we come back here, this is the place where we get more free. You know, perfect love casts out all fear. He who fears, John says, has not been made perfect in love. So the more perfected you are in love, the less fear you have. There's more trust in God to be the vindicator, to do these things, and you're looking to him. Makes your life much easier. Praise God.